Greetings and welcome to this special Crusade edition of A Time for Harvest and the LifeSpring Podcast. I'm Steve Webb, host of the LifeSpring Podcast, which is a proud member of the Godcast Network. Over the next several days, Craig Patchett, founder of the Godcast Network, and I will be bringing you podcast coverage of Harvest Ministries' 2005 Anaheim Harvest Crusade, and we are truly thrilled to be able to do so. This year's crusade begins on Friday, July 15th, and ends on Sunday, July 17th, and will be held at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, California. The lineup of guests is probably the best I've ever seen at a crusade. We'll have Delirious, Casting Crowns, Toby Mack, Jeremy Camp, Cutlass, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Jars of Clay, and Crystal Lewis. They'll all be there. And there will also be a freestyle motocross exhibition. And of course, Pastor Greg Laurie will have a message each night, which I know will be truly great teaching, as it always is with Pastor Greg. Our coverage of the crusade starts with this podcast that you're listening to right now. Leading up to the start of the crusade on the 15th, we will have several more shows which will focus on different aspects of the preparations that go into making the crusade happen. We'll talk to various people who are working behind the scenes. We'll talk to some of the artists who will be ministering at the event. We'll talk to some folks who met Christ at previous crusades and much, much more. During the crusade, we'll be doing soundseeing tours, letting you experience as much as possible what it's actually like at a crusade. And we'll also have Pastor Greg Laurie's messages for you. So, if you are not in the Southern California area, you won't have to miss out. But if you can make it to Anaheim, I encourage you to make plans to do so and bring a friend or two, or 10, who need Jesus in their life. This is a great opportunity for them to see that being a follower of Christ can be an exciting and life-changing experience. Now, on today's podcast, I had a chance this past Sunday morning to sit with Pastor Greg between services and talk about the upcoming crusade. Now, here's that interview. Craig Patchett, the founder of the Godcast Network, first gave his public confession of faith at a Harvest Crusade. The network is now heard in over 150 countries around the world and is touching lives every day. Now, that's just one example of one life and how that one life is now touching thousands more through this new medium called podcasting. Multiply that times the thousands of lives that have been affected by the crusade. How does it feel to be a part of being able to touch the world in so many different ways, Greg?
I think it's exciting because it's harnessing technology. I think a lot of times people are afraid of technology and they drag their feet on it. But at Harvest Ministries, we've always tried to be early adopters of trends that can help us to get the gospel out. We may have been the first church service to ever do live webcasts.
Really?
And if we weren't the first, we were certainly among the first. And recognize that we could bring this video on demand to people, and now you can archive it, and of course, with the increasing speeds available to view video through broadband and et cetera, and so many people getting broadband, it's opened a whole new door up because, you know, in the old days, it's sort of like the news networks dominated everything, but now with the internet and now with broadband and video delivery and, of course, podcasts, people can get the information they really want and they can listen to it when they want it. And I think that's fantastic. And what could be more perfect for what we're doing? Because we're about communication. We're about the gospel. We're about teaching the Bible. It's about conveying truth to people. And I want to utilize every vehicle possible to do just that.
When was the very first Harvest Crusade?
That would have been 1990.
And how many have there been total?
Oh, that's a good question. And you know what? I should know the answer to that, but I don't know exactly. But there, I know in combined attendance, we've had about 3,500,000 people attend crusades.
That's incredible. Any idea how many people have come forward in that time?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around 300,000 people.
Praise the Lord.
And what we always try to say is that we don't call them conversions because time will tell if they're conversions, but we call them professions of faith. And I would be the first to admit that not all of those people are continuing on. But I would also add that not only have many of those people continued on, but many of them are in ministry today. It's not uncommon now for me to run into people, because I've been doing these crusades for over 14 years, to run into people that who are not only came to Christ, but they're out there now serving the Lord, like you'd mentioned earlier in our interview here, and who are leading ministries, leading churches, out there impacting their culture for Christ. So now we're seeing fruit that remains, and that's really gratifying and exciting to us.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about, is changing lives and making it stick and having them be a part of the living body of Christ.
Yeah, I think so. You know, well, Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, not just make converts. And a disciple is someone who has understood what it means to be a real follower of Jesus. They're taking up the cross, they're following him, and they're seeking to reproduce themselves. And so our objective at Harvest is not to just lead people to faith, but to help them get up on their feet and then repeat the process. In fact, our mission statement is knowing him and making him known. So we want to introduce people to Christ, but then we want to help them grow in their faith and get stronger, and then go out and do it again and again.
All right, so tell me, what's the best way for a believer to invite someone to a crusade? How does that work? What's the most effective way for someone who's listening to this podcast that, well, number one, may be a believer but has unsaved friends, right, or someone who's listening that really doesn't have the whole God thing figured out? What's the best way to do that?
I would say bribery is the best. No, I'm kidding. I would say the key is you bring them. You don't tell them to go, you bring them. And hopefully you've developed a relationship with this person where they trust you to a certain degree. You've probably already shared the gospel with them, or there's something about your life that has attracted them to what you believe, and so you have some kind of rapport already. I think you should be upfront about what it is. I don't believe in being secretive or deceptive about it. Say, you know, we're going to an event, it's called a Harvest Crusade, but here's what it is. It's going to be fantastic music, and it's going to be a message on how to know God. Oh, I don't want to hear a sermon. Well, you know what? Here's what it's not so much, it is a sermon, but really this guy is going to talk to you about the big questions in life, such as, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? What happens when I die? Well, I don't want to be preached to. Well, just consider this. Jesus made unique and very significant claims. You need to hear what those claims are. Now, if you choose to reject those claims after you've heard them, after you've given thought to them, then that's your choice. But don't reject something out of hand that you haven't even taken the time to hear. So give a fair hearing to what the gospel message is and then make your decision. But another thing you can do is you can go out to our website, and we have crusades that are archived, so you could actually show a person a little bit of a crusade so they could get a taste of what it is they're going to see. And there's a lot of other ways that you can help encourage them in this way. But the main thing is bring them with you, maybe take them to dinner ahead of time, get that rapport going, and then most importantly, pray for them the whole time.
Now, has God given you a particular vision or a purpose for 2005's crusade?
You know, really, Steve, my vision hasn't changed with the passing of time. I think people are disappointed to hear that. They want to know what the new message is, the new this, the new that. Well, every year, certainly, the crusade hopefully has a fresh, current feel to it. If there's new technology, like podcasting, we're utilizing it. If there's a great band that may be new to us here at Harvest that would really impact the people, we'll utilize them. Our visuals, our graphics will change. Our platform will look a little bit different. But, you know, I have to admit to you, my core message has not changed one bit. And that's very intentional. I don't want to change it, nor should I change it, because it's the gospel. Now, hopefully it'll be current in any references I might use. It will be relevant at the time in which we're living. But at the same time, my core message never changes. It's always the simple message of how to come into a relationship with God, what Jesus did for you on the cross, how to be forgiven of your sins, how to go to heaven. That's what I'm going to be preaching, hopefully, if God gives me strength, 30 years from now for having this conversation. And who knows what technology we'll be using then.
Exactly. Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right. So it doesn't change.
That's right. And nor does the gospel message. And if we change it, we're making a big mistake, because there's power in the message of the gospel. And it's very simplicity that is part of its appeal. It is so profound that the greatest theologians of history, you know, grapple with its meaning, but it's so simple a child can grasp it. And I try to speak in a way that, yes, even a child can understand what's being said. And I'm reminded of that statement when it says of Jesus, the common people heard him gladly. You know, I'm speaking to common people. And you know what? I'm a common person. I'm not a great intellect. I'm not some brilliant theologian. I'm an ordinary person who has met an extraordinary God and wants to declare that message to other people.
What is your background? How did you get saved?
Well, I was basically a mixed up kid, and like a lot of other people in my generation, I was sort of caught up in the whole mentality of the 60s. I dabbled in drinking, partying, drugs and such, and quickly came to the conclusion that this was not the life I was looking for. And at the ripe old age of 17, I came across a group of very committed Christians on my high school campus who were having a Bible study, and I observed them for a while and listened to what they had to say, and a fellow got up and spoke, and he proclaimed the gospel message, and I committed my life to Christ. I'd been raised in a really dysfunctional home. My mom was an alcoholic. She was married and divorced 7 times, and I lived all around the country. So I had a really weird childhood. But one of the good things is it got me searching for answers at a very early age. And it also helped me to realize that the answers I was looking for were not in this world. It was sort of a process of elimination. I knew where the answers weren't. I just hadn't discovered where they were yet. And when I heard the gospel, I thought, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And then I committed my life to the Lord. And actually, we started our church a couple of years after that, and then our crusades a number of years after that.
Then I asked Greg about people who might have a friend that don't really have an interest in the things of God, how they might create an interest in attending a Harvest Crusade.
Well, I think that their interest is going to come from their relationship with you more than the event itself drawing them. I think there's a certain trust factor that hopefully you have developed with the person that will cause them to say, okay, I'm going to go to your event. I do find, though, that when we talk to people who have come to a crusade afterwards, they're always pleasantly surprised. I think they were expecting one thing and they see another. But we rely on people developing relationships with people and bringing those folks out, because we have found that 85% plus of those that come forward at an invitation were brought by a friend. So that, again, is the key. So right now, you need to just stop for a moment and think about who you know that does not yet know the Lord. All of us know someone, or many people. They might be our neighbors. They might be family members. They might be coworkers. They might be people we know from school. And now you need to start praying for them specifically. In fact, think about the person you know that you can't even imagine ever being a Christian. Think about the party animal. Think about the person who is always mad. Think about the person who is the most hostile to the Christian message. It's always arguing with you. Now, pray for that person by name. Get another Christian to pray with you for that person by name. Now take the next step. Invite them to the crusade. Greg, are you crazy? If I did that, they'd never come. You may be right, but what if they come? What if God softens their heart? And what if they come not only to the crusade, but more importantly, to Christ himself? It's possible. With God, all things are possible. But you need to pray, and you need to invite, and you need to bring people. Those are the keys.
And then follow up.
Absolutely. And we actually have a very good follow-up process in place where we will counsel people. We'll send them Bible study materials. We will do everything we can to help them get on their feet spiritually. But realistically, we have found that the people who come to Christ at an event will tend to go to the church of the person who brought them. So you're not only going to play a role in helping to bring a person to Christ, you're going to play a role in helping a person grow in Christ.
So that's great. Now, you said 85% of the people that attend were brought by someone else.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a stat that we've Billy Graham people have seen as well. And there's no question that those people are there because someone brought them.
Now, that's amazing. I had no idea that it was so high. I have a tendency to go with, you know, youth groups and things like that. And out of a group of, say, 20 kids, maybe 5 are first-time attenders, and the rest of them are just there, you know, for the music. So it's good to hear that the statistic is actually the other way around.
So that's why it's important to bring someone and understand that you don't just say, hey, go to the Harvest Crusade, but say, hey, what time am I going to pick you up and where? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And take them out to dinner if you want. Do whatever. That's all great. But you got to bring them with you and be praying for them. See, when that message is being given, you need to be praying. The moment they sit down, just as you're sitting there, you don't have to fold your hands and close your eyes and never talk to them, but you're just silently in your heart, Lord, just touch them. Lord, use this. Lord, just let us sit by the right people and just, Lord, help Greg to say the right thing and help this just to be the night for this person. Just pray for them. And here's the good news. Even if they don't go forward at the invitation, doesn't mean that a significant seed has not been sown in their life.
That's right.
You know, the harvest is not at the end of the service. That's at the end of the age. And so don't be discouraged if they don't make their commitment to the Lord right then and there. We have found, interestingly, that people have given their lives to Christ after the service in the parking lot, or the next day, or a week after, or a month after, even a year after.
Sure.
Your job as a Christian is not to convert someone. Yeah, I can't convert anyone, nor can you. Our job is to bring the message to them and leave the results in the hands of God. So let's do our job and we'll let the Holy Spirit do his.
Amen. Amen. So many people have the idea that, golly, I have so much responsibility here, I have to say just the right thing. But it's, as you say, it's not us that brings about the conversion process. It's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. So, you know, and you're going to make mistakes when you're sharing your faith, and you're not always going to do everything perfectly. But frankly, I'd rather see you try and make some mistakes and never try at all. Oh, so what? So you didn't do it all right. At least you're making the effort. And I believe God will honor that. And you'll get better at it as you do it longer.
That's exactly right. You mentioned something there that is extremely important, and that is that people should be praying for you during this time, that you say the right things.
Yeah, there's a real spiritual battle that rages when you get up to preach the gospel. I remember when I spoke with Billy Graham a number of years ago, and I asked him what he was experiencing when he was giving the invitation for people to come to Christ. And his response was, he felt like power was going out of him. And I totally understood that, because when I'm giving the invitation, I feel like I'm in a spiritual vice. I'm a vice, like something closing in. I'm under intense pressure. It's a raging battle. And I really need prayer. I just can't emphasize that enough. And just that the Lord would give me the right message, the right words, you know. And it's something that I'm very concerned with and think about a lot and pray about a lot and prepare for a lot. And I, you know, many times still don't quite get it right. And I want it to be something that will honor and glorify God. So I do appreciate your prayers, and they make all the difference in the world.
Amen. I'm not a preacher by trade or by calling. I've started this podcast. Yeah. And before I open the mic, when I do this podcast, it's an incredible thing knowing that your words are going to be heard by people around the world, and you do so much want to say exactly the right thing. You want to say God's words and not yours.
That's right.
Any last words?
My last words would be, there will be people who will listen to this event that can attend it, and we would really appreciate your prayers. And don't forget that you can log on to our webcast either live, or you can come on later and watch an archive version of it. But I just hope this has been an encouragement to you, not only to be a part of this crusade, but just to remember that you've been giving your marching orders by your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, who has told us all to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think sometimes when we hear that phrase, go into all the world, it sounds a bit daunting, well, a bit overwhelming. Well, let me just localize it for you. Go into all of your world and preach the gospel. You know, you have a sphere of influence, and I do too. You have family members, you have friends, you have people around you that will listen to you. Go into your world and preach the gospel. You know, the question has been asked, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. How do we reach a massive, lost, and dying world? The answer, one bite at a time. Start with your world and then see what God will do. I encourage you to do that.
I want to thank you so much, Greg, for involving the Godcast Network in this event. We are honored, we are pleased, we're excited, and we're looking for God to do some great things.
Well, thank you for asking me. And again, as I said earlier, I'm excited about technology. You know, I love technology. And that sounds like that song from Napoleon Dynamite. Oh, I love technology. Did you see that movie?
No, I didn't.
Craziest movie. It's hilarious. But that's a long story. But someone saw the movie, they'll know what I'm talking about. But I've always been sort of interested in technology. And just as almost a hobby, if you will. You know, I have a Macintosh computer here, and I also have a PC. So I'm on both platforms, but I'm always interested in the newest thing coming down the road. And I'm especially interested in how it can be used for the gospel. So I applaud you and others out there who are pioneering a new area, a new field for the proclamation of God's word. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, Greg. Hey, thanks for listening to this special inaugural Harvest Crusade 2005 podcast. As Greg said, please remember to pray for this event. Pray for Greg. Pray for those that will be attending. Pray for us as we bring these podcasts to you. We hope you can join us in person at the Anaheim Crusade on July 15th through 17th or at an upcoming crusade near you. In the meantime, if you'd like to read more about how you can begin a relationship with God right now, or if you've recently made a decision to do so, please visit us on the web at www.knowgod.org. That's KNOWGOD.org, Know God. You can register your decision, you can take advantage of a wealth of resources to help you get the most out of your relationship, and even receive a free copy of the New Testament.
If you're already a believer and would like to help support Harvest Crusades by putting a Bible in the hands of a new believer, please visit us at harvest.org/STW. Now, if you want to be sure that you don't miss any of these podcasts, be sure that you get subscribed if you're not already. To subscribe to the A Time for Harvest podcast, go to harvest.org/devotional. There'll be a link there so that you can subscribe to A Time for Harvest podcast, or go to lifespringpodcast.com where you'll find a link there to subscribe to the Lifespring podcast. Now lastly, to sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily devotional via email, visit harvest.org/devotional. You can also email him directly at greg@harvest.org. Now that wraps up this special Crusade edition of A Time for Harvest and the Lifespring podcast. Stay subscribed for more special shows along with the Crusade itself. God bless.